Okay, so we are up to day 7, Shabbos Kodesh, the holy day of Shabbos. So we'll do like we always do. We'll read the verses, ask a very few verses on Shabbos, ask a couple questions, and then we will get to work. So like this, let's make a start. Day 7, Shabbos starts the beginning of chapter 2. So we're starting the second chapter of Bereishis. We finished chapter 1, and it says, Vayechulu Hashamayim V'haaretz. The heavens and the earth, they ended. They were completed. They were finished. V'chol tzeva'am, and all its hosts. We'll talk about that word in a minute. V'chol tzeva'am, all its hosts. It's a singular term. That means, I would have said it like this. The heaven and the earth were completed and all their hosts, all their accompaniments, the heavens and the earth. But it doesn't say that. It says it's singular. It says the heavens and the earth were completed and all its hosts. So you have to know why it says singular. We'll talk about that. Then the verse continues and it says, Vayichal Elokim, and God completed, Vayom HaShvi, as day 7 came in, God completed, Malachta, all his work, Asher Aso, all his work which he had done. Vayishbos Vayom HaShvi, and he rested on the 7th day, Mikol Malachta Asher Aso, from all his work that he had done. Verse 3, Vayivarech Elokim, and God blessed this Yom HaShvi. He blessed the 7th day. So what does this mean? What does it mean when Hashem gives a blessing to the 7th day? What is this blessing? What's it all about? Then it continues and it says, Vayikadosh also. He sanctified. So Shabbos is a day of blessing and it's a day where he sanctified. So those are the little bit of the clues that we have to what's going on Shabbos. And then it concludes and it says, Kivosh Shabbos, this is the day that he rested. Mikol Malachta Shabara, from all his work that he created. The word bara over here means something from nothing, because that's what took place from the beginning of creation, something from nothing. So he concluded everything that was created from nothing. That means from now on, there's not going to be anything in the world that is going to be something from nothing. Everything is just going to be given form to what was created. Asher bara Elokim la'asos, to what God had created to do. And what is this word la'asos, to do? To do when? I would have ended this verse that Hashem blessed the 7th day, he sanctified it, and he rested from all his work that he had done. But it doesn't say that. It says, he rested from all the work that he had created, la'asos, to do. To do when? To do what? What's this referring to? That's a big question, and that's something that we will, God willing, get to maybe towards the middle of the class. So I'm going to start like this. I'll start off just with one simple point that we started off with. Why does it say at the beginning that Hashem finished Shemayim and the Aretz and all their array, all their hosts? It says it in singular, all its hosts. So Rabbeinu Bachai over here says that what Hashem is teaching us right over here is, don't think that the heavens and the earth are two separate entities. Everything is one. Everything is one. There are no two separate things going on. There's the heaven people and the earth people, and it's like two separate programs. It's not the case. Everything is one. The heavens and the earth are one. Even though the heavens are up there, the earth is down here. But everything is intertwined. And this is a point that I just want to reiterate. I think we've spoken about it. But what happened down here on earth was not random. It wasn't like Hashem decided, you know, let's build some of this. Let's make some houses, some mountains, some rivers, some trees, some animals. Nothing down here is random. Everything came down here because it's a physical manifestation of what is above. That means it came down, a little more physical, a little more physical, a little more, until it looks like the world that we have today. But this world is just a physical manifestation of what's going on above. And therefore, it would be correct to say about heaven and earth, singular term. Because you're not talking about separate things, the heaven stuff and the earth stuff. The heaven and earth and its array, because the heaven and earth are really one. We are bound to heaven by the very nature of the fact that we are just a rung on the ladder, physical manifestation of what goes on in heaven. So I think that's an important point to make, and it's something we've spoken about, that what goes on down here is not separate. Nothing down here is separate. There's people down here, and then there's the spiritual stuff up there. Not at all. Everything is one. Everything is intertwined. Every world, the Kabbalists talk about this at length. We will not go into it right now, but they talk about it at length, how every world, the top level of this world is the lowest level of the world on top of it. And then the top level of the world on top of it is the lowest level of the world on top of that. And it goes on forever. But the point is that everything is intertwined. Everything is one seamless, intertwined existence. So that is point number one. Now, let's try and get into the topic of Shabbos. And I'm going to open it with a comment that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, we haven't mentioned him yet in this series. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he was one of the great commentaries. He's on the page of the Mekoros Gedolos. And he was a Kabbalist. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he's one of the classic commentaries. And he says over here, a whopper. He says something that, you know, if you haven't heard this before, it's like, wow. Like, this is news. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes like this. He says that when Hashem created the world, get ready for this, he created a world that only lasts for 6 days. That's it. He created a world that if you would look at the world at the beginning of the 6 days of creation, you would see a world that has the ability to last for 6 days. That's all it is. A world, the end of 6 days, it's over. Then he put into the world this day called Shabbos. And Shabbos renews the world for another 6 days until you get to the next Shabbos. And then you get to the next Shabbos and it renews it for another 6 days. But if you want to know what is the world is just 6 days in Shabbos. Unbelievable concept. When I first heard this, I was bowled over. That means we think this world is going and going and going and it's endless. It just goes round. Everything works. It's not at all. The world, if you think about it like this, when we're at the end of Friday, right before Shabbos is coming in, at that moment, we're pretty much at the end. We're looking over at a cliff. It's about to end. Creation is over. It doesn't have the ability to last more than 6 days. Then Shabbos comes in and Shabbos renews its lease for another 6 days. That's what the Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes. And I'm just commenting on Mark's point. Is that how we understand the Lashon on the seventh Hashem completed his work? Yes. Yes, absolutely. The Or HaChaim, he writes that when it says the words, Kivo Shavas, on that day he rested, it means through this day he rested because through this day he enabled it to run again for another round. Absolutely. Yes, it's exactly the words he says. So thank you for that. The world is for 6 days in Shabbos. That is all it is. It's a sum total of 6 days in Shabbos. So now, if we understand it like that.
I've got a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So is it every 6 days repetitive or was it the first 6 days?
Well, once Shabbos comes in the picture, Shabbos will renew it for another 6 days.
So it's ongoing.
It's ongoing. It's an ongoing process. The first creation was a creation for six. Then he created Shabbos. Shabbos has in it the ability to create another six. And then Shabbos will come again. It will create another six. It's an ongoing process. 6 days in Shabbos, which gives another 6 days. And this is, by the way, the understanding why everywhere you look, they'll tell you that Shabbos is going to power the future week. And anything that happens in the future week will have its roots in Shabbos. However we act on Shabbos will have an effect in our coming week. Now, why is it like that? The answer is very simple. Because it's not just happens to be. Shabbos is literally the power and the creation of the 6 days ahead. So whatever happens in the 6 days means that Shabbos created it within the day of Shabbos. So now the question is going to be, and this is what I want to go into. If this is all true, and of course it is, so how does it work? What does it mean that Shabbos gives us another 6 days? It's not a magic formula. Hashem said, oh, Shabbos will give you another 6 days. How does Shabbos do that? And what is in the inherent nature of Shabbos that allows us to come down after Shabbos with another 6 days? That's a point that we need to understand. That's what I want to go into. How is it? I mean, we have the law. We've laid down the principle. 6 days in Shabbos, and Shabbos will renew the week for another 6 days until you get to the next Shabbos. But how does this work? How will Shabbos give us another 6 days? So this is where we get into what the Ramban and the Rabbeinu Bachai, they all talk about. And it's really based on the words of a Zohar. And it's not the concept is not too complicated, but let's try and get into it. It says that Hashem blessed the day of Shabbos. Now Rashi comments, what does it mean he blessed the day of Shabbos? How did he bless it? The Rashi writes he blessed it with the manna, because every day the manna came down when they were in the desert and It was enough for one day. On Friday, he gave them double for Shabbos. So that's where Lecha Mishnah, where we have double challahs on Shabbos, because on Friday, the monk came double for Shabbos. It came Friday, and it came another portion for Shabbos, and that's why it's called a blessing of the day of Shabbos. Now, the question over here is obvious. And the Zohar, the Holy Zohar itself, asks the question that on Shabbos itself, no man descended. Nothing came down on Shabbos. The man that came down on Friday for Shabbos. So you're telling me that Shabbos is a day of blessing? If you would look at it at face value, it would look like Shabbos is a day of zero blessing. Every day of the week, the man falls down. On the day of Shabbos, nothing comes down. Every day, let's put the question in our terminology. When we have a business, we run a business and we're making money. 6 days of the week, we run the business and we make money. Shabbos, we rest and we don't make any money. So what do we mean Shabbos is a day of blessing? We keep Shabbos and we don't work and we don't make money. So what does this mean that Shabbos is a day of blessing? We would think that Shabbos should be the day where we should make the most money. We would think that Shabbos is a day where the most mana should fall down from Shemayim, from heaven, but nothing comes down on Shabbos. So we have this picture in our head of a day of blessing, and we look around on Shabbos and we see zero blessing. We actually only see whatever we produced in the week. That's what we have. Whatever we made in the 6 days before is what we'll eat on Shabbos. But we can't cook on Shabbos. We can't do business. No man's falling down. So what does this mean that Shabbos is a day of blessing? It would seem to be just the opposite. That's the question. It's a very, very strong question. The Zohar itself asks the question, what does it mean that Shabbos is a day of blessing? So the Zohar responds, and the Zohar says very cryptic words like it always does, and the Zohar writes that what it means that Shabbos is a day of blessing means that all the days of the week are dependent on the day of Shabbos, which is very much along the lines of what we just said from the Aruch Chaim. But I'm going to give this a little more words and a little more understanding from the words of the Ramban and the words of Rabbeinu Bachai. And they say that when we say that Shabbos is blessing, it means that Shabbos is the source of blessing. Shabbos is the root of all blessing, which means like this. Anything that we receive has got to come from somewhere. So when we talk about blessing, when we talk about bracha coming down into this world, it's got to come from somewhere. Now, where does it come from? It comes from up there, somewhere in Shemayim. All the way deep, very high up, there's a place where you can imagine a spiritual storehouse where all blessing is stored over there. And Hashem sends down blessing from the storehouse, from the root of blessing. Now, during the week, we are down here and we are recipients and we receive the blessing from above. But there's one day a week where we actually go to the storehouse. We're not down here recipients of blessing. We actually go and we open the doors to the warehouse, to the storehouse, where all the blessing comes from. So of course, you're not going to see anything down here because we're not down here. We went up there. Isn't that amazing? When we say that Shabbos is a day of blessing, it's a bigger blessing than we can even dream of. It's not a blessing that we are recipients of blessing. It's a blessing where we get to go up to the place where blessing comes from. Then when we come down after Shabbos, we bring with us our bags of goodies, which is what we have in the coming 6 days. Which means that the day of Shabbos is not a day where things come down here. Shabbos is a day where we go up there, where everything comes from. And I'll give this a little more understanding in a minute, what this means that we go up there. The day of Shabbos is a day which they call the source of blessing. That's what it means that when it says Hashem blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. He blessed it that we go up to the source of blessing. And he sanctified it because Shabbos is a day which isn't like the rest of the week. It's at a point which is very, very close to the original source of creation. And that's why it's sanctified. It's not a day of 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 6. Sorry, 6 is there and then 7 we go up. We're literally in a different place on Shabbos. Now, if you look at us, and the Ramban even points this out. He says, if you look at anybody, you're not going to see this. I'm telling you something crazy. I'm telling you that on Shabbos, we went up to a different world. Now, if you look at us, you're not going to see that. But we have to believe, and if we believe it enough, we'll eventually start to feel it. That on Shabbos, we do feel different. And the reason is because our soul has ascended to a higher place than it is on Shabbos. It's what you call the place where all blessing comes from. And this is why the Aruch Chaim writes that Shabbos will create another 6 days. Because when you go back to the root and then you come down, you're going to bring with you again another 6 days. Because you went to the place where the 6 days come from. So day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is what comes down here. Then we go back up and we draw down with us another 6 days. But if we don't go up to Shabbos, then we have nothing to bring with us for the coming 6 days. So maybe if there's one Jew in the world that keeps Shabbos, he may merit that the entire world is renewed for another 6 days. But there's going to be a big difference between the person who went up there himself or herself to go up there and bring it down. Imagine what their week's going to look like. Now, if we understand it like this, let's try and understand a little bit deeper what it means when we say that Shabbos has a neshama yisera. Shabbos has an extra soul. So when I was young, I'm still pretty young, I guess, but when I was very young, then I understood this in a very, you know, simple fashion, that there's a soul, is like a, you know, a little box, a circle, and on Shabbos we get another package, right? Shabbos we get an extra soul, we get a double soul. Now, of course, that's not what it means, and as a student of Rav Moshe Shapiro, he keeps on hammering through our heads that we are not allowed to stay our entire lives with our young, childish concepts. You know, like it's good for when we're young, but then we need to upgrade and we need to try and understand it a little bit better. So what does that mean that on Shabbos we have an extra soul? Doesn't mean that we just got another bag, got another package. What does it mean that we have an extra soul? So the understanding is exactly like this. This is exactly the point that we're saying. On Shabbos, we go up. And because we go up, we feel our soul more than we did during the week. Because look at it like this. We know that the soul has 5 different elements. There's 5 different parts to the soul. The lowest part is called the nefesh. The nefesh, the Kabbalists teach us, is in the liver. Then you have the ruach, the wind. And that, they teach us, is in the heart. Then you have the higher part, which is the neshama. Now the neshama, we say it's in our brain. But Reb Chaim Volozhin, the main disciple of the Vilna Gaon, writes that most of it is not in our brain because it's too big. It's too big to be confined to a physical form. And he writes that the neshama is actually over our head. It's like a halo hovering over us. And a little bit of it, like a ray of the sun, shines into our brain. And that's a little neshama that's inside us. But most of the neshama is actually above our heads. Then we have on top of that what you would call the chaya. And then you have all the way at the top the yechidah. And that's extremely high. Most of us have no idea what that means and what that feels like. But really, we don't end over here. This is just the physical part ends over here. But then the neshama is there. Then the chai is over there. Then the yechidah is over there. During the week, we are stuck to this. So whatever we feel down here, we have a little ounce of neshama. That's what makes it in. We have the ruach and we have the nefesh. On Shabbos, because we go up, now that I'm up, suddenly, I feel more of my neshama, because you can always imagine it as if I've gone above where my physical head ends. So because I've gone up, I'm going to feel my neshama more. It was always there, I just couldn't feel it. But on Shabbos, it's not a day where we go down. Shabbos is a day where we go up to the source. When we go up to the source, of course, we're going to feel our neshama in a much stronger way. That's what it means, an extra soul. It means that you connect, you're able to feel the soul that you always had, but during the week, it didn't have the ability to connect to you. It was just on top of you. And on Shabbos, you can go up and feel the soul in a much stronger way. That's what the day of Shabbos is, when we go up. And then when we come down, we're taught that after Shabbos, we make Avdalah and we smell the besamim. And they explain the reason why we smell the besamim is because we lost the neshama yisera. What that means, that we lost the extra soul, means that we were up there on Shabbos and now we came back down into earth. And now we came down, we suddenly don't feel all those things that we felt on Shabbos, and we want some help. So we smell the besamim to try and revive us. But what we really want to do is bring down from the source of blessing a package of blessing for the coming 6 days. And that is the concept of Shabbos. I'll end off this point with a beautiful understanding based on what we just said in the words of the Lech HaDodi prayer, where we say, and I believe it's the third stanza in the Lech HaDodi that we say on Friday night, we say, Likras Shabbos, towards Shabbos, lechul v'nelcha, let us go towards Shabbos. Kihi, because she, Shabbos the queen, Makor HaBracha. She is the source of blessing. And they explain what this means is that we go to Shabbos. We're going up. Shabbos is a day where we're not down here, recipients. We go into the source. We get the keys to the storehouse up there where the blessing comes from. Because Shabbos is the source of all blessing. We go to the source, we bring it down, we renew creation for another 6 days, and in that we have blessing for the coming 6 days. So, let us, in the last 25 minutes that we have over here, let us go through some of the unbelievable revelations that the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai, what they explain, what they point out, is the significance of these 6 days of creation and the seventh day of Shabbos. They reveal something amazing. And let's go through one by one. And we'll get to the day of Shabbos at the end. And ultimately, I want to get to explain what it means, Ashabar alakim, that God created la'asos to do. What does this mean? That he rested to do. One day he's going to do something again. What does that mean? So the commentaries, like I said, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachai, they explain that our sages teach us in Tractate Sanhedrin that the world was created for 6,000 years. When Hashem created the world, he created it for a total of 6,000 years. That means even though I said 6 days in Shabbos, but that cycle will repeat itself for a total of 6,000 years. Then the Talmud writes, at the end of those 6,000 years, there's going to be another period of 1,000 years, which is going to be the 7,000 year, and that world is going to be completely destroyed during that 1,000. That means 6,000, we have the world. Then there's going to be another 7,000 year where the world is going to be completely destroyed. There's going to be no life, no humanity. The Talmud writes that some sages will merit to become like eagles and fly above it, whatever that means, not for now. And then that's it. And then after that, the world will be renewed. And that will be a period which we call entering the world to come. So we have 6,000 years, 1,000 years of destruction, of complete lack of life, lack of world, lack of humanity, and then the world will be renewed, entering the world to come. So our sages revealed to us that this 6,000 plus 1,000 is directly correspondent to the 6 days of the week in Shabbos. That means that there's a verse in Tehillim which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's day, a single day by God, is 1,000 years by us. His day is for us 1,000 years. So when it says there are 6 days of creation, ultimately each day corresponds to 1,000 years of creation. So day one has to do with everything that happened in the first 1,000 years of creation. Day two has to do with everything that happened in the second millennium. Day three, day four, and what happens in the seventh millennium has to do with Shabbos, which means that Shabbos, which is our holiest day of rest, has to do with the seventh millennium, which is going to be completely destroyed. It's going to be nothing. And that obviously needs understanding. And how do we correspond each day? So that's the outline that we want to talk about. And let's go through day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And especially try and explain Shabbos and then explain what will happen after Shabbos. So I'm going to say mainly from the Ramban. And the Ramban writes like this. He writes that in the first 1,000 years, that's day one. What happened on day one? Day one was light. Day one was a creation of light. And that refers to the first 1,000 years of creation where who is the main player? Adam Arishan, the first man. And he was the light of the world. Adam was the light of the world. He was at a level that we can't imagine. And we know that he lived for basically 1,000 years. He was supposed to live a complete 1,000, but he gave away the last 7 years of his life to David HaMelech, to King David. Otherwise, King David would not have had any years to live. King David was supposed to be born and just die within, I think, 3 days, it says. But he basically didn't have any life. And the last 70 years of his life came from Adam HaRishon. That means that Adam really spanned 1,000 years. And he was the light of the world. So day one, which is the creation of light, there's light everywhere. That corresponds to the first millennium, where over there you have Adam HaRishon, who is 1,000 years of light. And that is one for the first 1,000. Day two, what was created on day two? Day two was created the Rakia, the firmament. The firmament made a separation. And we spoke about this many, many times, how day two has to do with splitting things up. It's the first point where one turns into two. What happened, the main thing in the second thousand year of creation? You had Noah and his family who completely separated themselves from the entire generation of the flood. The world was destroyed. Most of the world went one way, and Noah had the ability to separate himself and not become part of what the world was doing. The rest of the world was destroying themselves, and he separated and he built his own ark and he went into his own little bubble. And that has to do with the fact that day two was a day of separation, which means that we could tap into the concept of separation in a good way. That this is what it seems to be, that we have the ability to separate. We have, even though normally we say separation is a bad thing, but there is an ability to be like a Noah, to be in a world which is completely going one way, and we could separate and do something else. That ability comes from day two. Day two, separation, which has to do with Noah separating from the world. What happened on day three? This is amazing. On day three, it's a day where God introduced into the world the concept of growth. Things started growing, plants. The idea that whatever is in the world could grow. And we spoke about this at length on day three, how the trees of Gan Eden were created on day three because it's the ability to do something, to plant it, and it could grow fruit. Who came onto the scene in the third millennia of creation? Avram Avinu, our forefather Avram. And what did he do? He was the one that planted. He made people, he recognized God. He planted seeds by converting so many people to Judaism. Eventually, he was the one that led the way for us to receive the Torah, which all happened in the third millennium, which is the fruits of what we planted. And ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash was built right at the end of the third millennium. And the Beis HaMikdash is the main place where we do mitzvahs and Eretz Yisrael, the commandments. And that is the trees and the fruits of creation. So day three is a day of growth, a day where we have the ability to plant and things grow. What happened in the third day is Avraham Avinu is born. He recognizes Hashem. He plants seeds. He grows emunah in the world. Ultimately, this comes out with beautiful trees called the Torah and the Beis HaMikdash, which is all built in the third millennium. All to do with planting and growing fruit. Now, they point out over here, and we have to keep this in mind for later. Now, Avraham Avinu was actually born 48 years before the end of the second millennium. So when we say that Avraham Avinu came into the scene in the third thousand year, he actually came in, that's when he was 48. And that's when he recognized Hashem. But he was actually born towards the end of the second. Say the Rishonim something unbelievable. At the end of the night, there's always going to be a ray of light that's coming from the morning that's about to come out. And he says at the end of every day, there's always going to be the beginning of an awakening of the next day. And that's why we're going to see that Avraham Avinu is already born at the end of day two, at the end of the second thousandth year. He comes out and he sprouts. His light came out when he was 48 at the beginning of 3000 and he recognized Hashem. But he was already planted. He was already there towards the end of the second. And the concept, and we'll talk about it more later, is that the deepest point of the night, there's already a ray of light over there, which is coming from the morning that's about to come into play. And that's why Avraham Avinu is already born at the end of the second, almost at the beginning of the third. Now day four is the creation of the lights. Two lights, the sun and the moon. Say the Rishonim, beautiful. What lights played in the fourth millennia of the world? The Beis HaMikdash. Both Beis HaMikdashes. They were built right at the end of the third, like we just said, because everything starts right at the end of the last period. The day before already comes in at the end, but the main time where the Beis HaMikdash was around was during the day number fourth millennium. You have the first Beis HaMikdash, and you have the second Beis HaMikdash. And that's the light of the world. And that's the sun and the moon. Now, why the sun and the moon? Because the first Beis HaMikdash is the sun. The second Beis HaMikdash is the moon. Why would that be? Because we know that the level of revelation of Shekhinah, of divine presence that took place in the first Beis HaMikdash was unimaginable. The second Beis HaMikdash was nowhere near as close. Many of the miracles didn't take place in the second Beis HaMikdash. And the divine presence basically wasn't there. It was a holy place, but it was not at the level of the first one. And the Rishonim say that corresponds to the sun and the moon, where the moon complained. They wanted it to be as big as the sun, and that caused it to become smaller, which is why it's unbelievable, the symmetry over here. How you have, in the 4,000th year of creation, you have a big light and a small light. The first base of Mikdash and the second base of Mikdash. One is the sun, one is the moon, but they're totally at different levels. The sun and the moon all rooted in day number 4 of creation. What happened at the end of the 4th millennium? The second base of Mikdash is destroyed and it's no more. And that corresponds to the sun setting on day number 4. So the sun is brought into play on day number 4. It sets for its first time on day number 4. The biggest setting of the sun that took place in history is when the light of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and we went into exile. And that is the metaphorically what came out from the setting of the sun on day 4 to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash at the end of the 4th millennium. Day number 5 is a day where God introduced into the world creepy crawlies, fish, the beginning of life in this world, which crawls along the ground. And that has to do with the fact that in the 5th millennium, we spent the whole thing in exile. We were completely under the control over nations of the world that almost trampled on us, like creepy crawlies. That's what took place during the entire 5th millennium. And that's why, I think Rabbeinu Bachai writes this, the only day of the days of creation where it doesn't say, Vayihi chen, and it will be so, is on the 5th day. Because exile will not be eternally. And that's why on day 5, it doesn't say, Vayihi chen, it should be so. Because what took place on day 5 is not something that's going to stay. It was temporary. And that leads us into day 6. And on day 6, what happened? So they reveal that the animals were created before the beginning of the day. Before the sun rose in the morning, the animals were created. And that relates to the concept that the animals of the world, the worst time, the worst period in Jewish history is going to be at the beginning of the 6th millennium. And we know this, the persecutions that took place. This has to do with the animals being created at the beginning of the 6th day. And then comes, the sun comes out, and Adam HaRishon is born. And Adam, of course, first man is created at the beginning of day 6, which tells us that one day in the 6th millennium, Mashiach ben David is going to be born. And just to explain a little bit, the word that the Zohar reveals, that the word Adam, I think we maybe mentioned this, the word Adam, Aleph Dalet Mem, stands for, Aleph of his name stands for his own name, Adam. The Dalet stands for David, that's King David, because he gave 70 years of his life to King David. And the last Mem stands for Mashiach ben David, who is going to be a descendant of David. So in Adam itself, you have Adam, David, and Mashiach. And when Adam is born on day 6, that tells us that one day in the 6th millennium, Mashiach is going to be born. I'm going to get back to that point about Mashiach in a minute. Let's continue. Day 7, the world rests. It's Shabbos. And that means that on day 7, on a deeper level, when we finish this 6,000-year period, which we have 219 years left of it, hopefully less, but I'm saying of the period, we hope Mashiach will come today, but either way, it's going to go for another 219 years. At the end of that, just like on Shabbos, on a small level, on a micro level, we stop working. When we enter the 7th millennium, the entire world is going to stop working. Not in a bad way. Because just like we explained, that Shabbos is a day where we rise up to the source of blessing. The 7th millennium is going to be a day where this entire world ceases to exist, and we and the entire world and the entire creation goes up to the source of where it was all created. When our sages teach us that on the 7th day, in the 7,000th year, the world's going to be destroyed, doesn't mean it's a day of destruction. It means it's a day where the entire creation is going to go up to its source. And when you look down here, you're going to see nothing. Just like on Shabbos, we don't stay down here. We go up to the source. When we end the 6,000 years, we go into the 7,000 year. We're going to go up to the source of blessing. The entire world, every element of creation is going to go up. But then here comes the secret. Then it's going to come down. Just like we come down and we create again, we're going to come down after the 7,000 year. And we're going to have resurrection of the dead. And then we're going to enter what you call the 8th 6,000 year, which is called the world to come. And from there, it's eternity. And this is why, said Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, listen to the beauty of this. This is why it says, at the end of Shabbos, the final word is, Ashabara Elohim, that God rested from his creations, la'asos, to do in the future. Because one day, he's going to do again, and we're going to do again. When we finish the 7,000 year period, we're going to go into the world to come where we're not going to rest over there. We're going to go from level to level to level to level. Just like in this world, we climb when we climb. In a spiritual sense, in the world to come, we're going to climb, like the Pasuk says, Yelchu mechayel lechayel. We're going to go up from level to level. So what's alluding to in this verse is that on day 7, we rest. We go up. We get recharged. The entire world is going to go up to its source. But then it's going to come back and it's going to be renewed in an unbelievable spiritual sense. La'asos, to do. Because we're going to go into the next period after day number 7. The Torah is not going to write anything beyond day number 7. The world to come is too beyond for us to describe it. But it's alluded to that we are going to be doing again on a different realm. We're going to come back and we're going to do again. And it's going to be in a different place called the world to come. And that is the period of the 6 days in Shabbos corresponding to the 6,000 years, and the day of Shabbos, and then the last is alluding to day number 8, which refers to the period of the world to come. Now, we have another couple minutes, and I want to mention one point to conclude over here, which the Rishonim do, and it's something that bothered me tremendously. I was not going to talk about it, because I didn't have a good way to explain it, and Baruch Hashem, with much Siyata Deshmaya, I happened to be listening to a series of classes from Rav Moshe Shapiro, and randomly in the middle of what he was talking about, he asked this question and he gave an unbelievable answer. So just in time, I'm going to share this with you, and but we'll conclude with this. The Rishonim say, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bachai, they write explicitly that just like Adam was created in the morning of the sixth day, they write, Mashiach will come, and they're before this, Mashiach will come at the beginning of the sixth millennium. And not just that, they give a date. They say what year. In the year 5118, Mashiach will come. They are before this, they're at the beginning of this millennium, and they write that Mashiach will come, just like Adam was created at about a tenth into the day, Mashiach will come a tenth into the day. They give a date. They base it on the verses in Daniel, where Daniel prophesied about the day for Mashiach, and they say this is when Mashiach will come. Now I'm learning this, and we're learning this together, and we know, unfortunately, this didn't happen. It's not true. He didn't come. We're way past the year 5118, and he's nowhere to be seen. Now, are we allowed to say, I would never say this, are we allowed to say that they made a mistake? The Ramban, who we drink from his wellsprings, and we've been learning everything he's been saying. Rabbeinu Bachai, everything they're saying with such certainty. And they set a date for Mashiach, and they base it on the verse. Adam was born, and Adam is Mashiach. So Adam was born at the beginning of day number 6. It means Mashiach will come at the beginning of day number 6. What exactly happened? What are we missing? What's the disconnect over here? How are we to understand this? And really, I called a couple people about this, and they did not receive something satisfactory. And then Rav Moshe Shapiro dropped the bomb and he left me with an unbelievable answer. So I'm going to share this with you. And he said like this. We know, and this is something that we need to talk about either way. You would think that sometime at the beginning of the Torah, 6 days of creation on Shabbos, Hashem would tell us that there's going to be a place called the world to come. Right? Everything we do, one day we're going to go to the world to come. Right now, we're in a temporary world. It's just a gateway, a bridge. One day, we're going to get to the world to come. You would think that it's such a fundamental that the Torah is going to actually write about this place called the world to come. There's not going to be a mention of it. All we're going to have is allusions, allusions, allusions. It's constantly going to be, like we just said, la'asos will allude to us that there will be some future dimension. There's going to be other places in the Torah where it alludes to the concept. You're not going to find explicit verse that says one day there will be a dimension you're going to enter called the world to come. How could this be? So there's many, many different answers to this, but let's go with one clear path. And the path is the reason why it couldn't write about it is because the world to come is so beyond that no word could describe it. Everything that's written in the Torah is something that could be limited into a word, something that our brain could comprehend. The world to come is so deep, even the prophets didn't know what it was. Right? The Rambam Maimonides writes that all the prophets did not prophesy about the world to come. They only prophesied about Mashiach, but they couldn't grasp the world to come. So of course the Torah didn't write about it, because how could it? What's it going to say? The world to come, that's not what it is. It's a dimension beyond words. It's too high. It's too big to explain it. So the Torah does not write about the world to come because it's from a place beyond words, from a place beyond dimension. There's no shape. It's too big. You can't write about it. Having said that, the Torah does talk about Mashiach. And the Torah talks about, and you go through prophets, so many, many mentions of Mashiach, and it writes clearly over there that there's going to be a time period where Mashiach will come. Guaranteed, during the sixth millennium, Mashiach will come at some point. But you want to know what year it's going to come? The verse in Daniel writes that Hashem told Daniel, I want you to close it up like a secret. There will be a date, but I'm not going to reveal it to you. That means that Olam Haba we're not told about at all. Mashiach we're told about. We're told that it will have a date, but we're told that we're never going to figure out what the date is. It's a secret. Why did Hashem do that? And Rav Moshe Shapiro explained that Mashiach is going to be the bridge that will take us from this world to the world to come. We have this world, we have the world to come. How are we going to get from one to the next? There's got to be a bridge, something that is semi in this world, semi not in this world, that's going to take us from this world to the world to come. That is going to be the time period called Mashiach. The time period when the Mashiach comes is going to be the bridge that will transcend us from this reality to the 1,000 years where we go up, where everything rests, and then we come down into this new dimension called the world to come. That is what Mashiach is going to do. And that's why it's unbelievable what he revealed. That's why Mashiach is revealed and not revealed. Because it's a bridge. It's going to be revealed that he's going to come, because he's going to come in our world, in our dimension. But we're never going to figure out the date. Because if we figure out the date, that would mean that we're going to reveal its root. And its root is taking us to the world to come. So if just like the Torah couldn't tell us about the world to come, it couldn't tell us the date of Mashiach, because the date of Mashiach is beyond. It's a dimension. It's coming from a place which can't be revealed, because when it comes, it's going to be beyond words. The Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai, we are permitted to say this time and this time only that they did not get it correct, because the Torah writes specifically that we will not be able to figure it out. We don't. If we figured it out correctly, that means we've limited it. It's beyond our comprehension. Why did they bother to do it? They had to, because it's a verse in Daniel, and they need to do their best to try and understand it correctly, and they're obligated to write their opinion. But they knew that their opinion about the date of Mashiach is very possibly wrong, because that's the nature of Mashiach. It's taking us to a dimension which can't be figured out in this world. It's almost figured out, because it's taking us from a point in this world, but it can't be figured out exactly, because it's taking us to a point which is beyond. So the Torah is going to talk about this world. We could figure it out. It's going to talk about Mashiach coming, because it will come in this world. It can't talk about the date, and it can't talk about Olam Haba, because these are all taking us to places which are beyond the dimensions and the comprehension of the human brain. And that's why we have Mashiach and we don't have it. This is what they explain. So to conclude with a final point. This is my two cents. Just like we know, the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bachai reveal that at the end of the period, you already start getting the light of the day that's about to come. Avraham Avinu is born at the end of number two. The Beis HaMikdash is built at the end of number three. It would seem to be, that means that at the end of the sixth millennia, which we are in today, there's already some light coming in from the day that we're about to go. That means that the period of 1,000 years of the seventh millennium, which is the period of Mashiach, which is the period where we go up for 1,000 years to the source of blessing, that light, we can already start to smell it. We can already start to feel it. And this is a little bit of understanding that Rav Moshe Shapiro revealed why it is that on some levels we're the lowest of all generations, compare us to previous generations, we're at the bottom. On the other hand, there's revelations and there's levels in Torah being understood today, which is more than it used to be. What's going on over here? Are we bigger or are we smaller? And the answer is that we're at the bottom, but because we're at the end of the night of day number six, that means we're already starting to get a little bit light coming in. It's filtering in from the coming day. The revelations in Torah that we're getting at the end of the 6,000 year is coming in from the seventh millennium. I'm already starting to feel the winds of Mashiach, the winds of the 7,000 year, which is one big Shabbos coming into the world. And that is the day number seven. And ultimately that will leave us to Lasos, to do, which refers to eight, which is always above and beyond nature, which is the dimension of the world to come. So to summarize what we spoke about today, we spoke about heaven and earth are all one. Everything is intertwined. The Or HaChaim tells us that the world was created for 6 days. Shabbos renews it constantly and gives it another 6 days. The concept of the blessing of Shabbos, even though we don't see anything down here because it's not down here, we go up there to the source of blessing. That's what it means that we have an Neshama Yisayer. We have an extra soul because we go up beyond who we are, and we feel and we're in touch with our soul more than we used to be. We go toward Shabbos. The Rishonim would tell us that the 6 days of the world correspond to the six millennia that we've been through. Each day corresponds to what happened on each day. The seventh is the day where the world will rest for 1,000 years. And all this will take us down to the last sos, to the eighth period, which is called the world of the world to come. The Rishonim reveal the time of Mashiach, but they didn't get it over here, and they knew they didn't get it, because Mashiach is the bridge between this world and the world to come. The world to come is too beyond to explain. Mashiach is in this world, but it's a bridge to beyond this world. So we're going to know about it, but we're never going to get its date. It's going to come, like the sages teach us, out of the blue, because it's coming from a place out of the blue. It's coming from a dimension which is beyond our comprehension. And with this, we have completed our series, 7 Days of Creation. And thank you all for joining. I just want to end off before we go. Thank you to everybody for allowing me to do this. This has been amazing for myself to clarify, and opportunity to go through it in more depth than I used to. So thank you. I'm just going to mention two things. If anybody is interested, I have a podcast, I don't know if you saw it, which I started a few weeks ago, which is Sfas Emes on the Parsha. It runs about 15 minutes once a week, comes out on Wednesday. And if anybody doesn't have the information, I'm happy to send that to you. There's also a WhatsApp group, which I know many of you are on, where I share a daily chapter of Tehillim, a little 1 minute thought on a chapter of Tehillim every day. And God willing, if good with you, I would love to do another series like this over the year. And it's not going to be a weekly thing, but we'll do it like in seasons. So we'll give it a little break, and then I would love to do another series, and I'm happy to hear from you what you want to do. I would suggest that we continue Bereishis and talk about Gan Eden, talk about the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, talk about in depth the sin of Adam, what exactly he did, what was the curse. We can go into Cain and Hevel. So that would be my suggestion, but I'm more than happy to hear from you, your thoughts, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Graham.
Thank you.
I have a question, Rabbi. Can I just ask a quick question?
Please.
When Mashiach comes, will all the souls have perished the earth, or will there still be living souls? But living people, living, breathing people.
Are you talking about in the 7,000 year?
I don't know.
Are you talking about where Mashiach comes?
Yes.
So let me clarify. Maybe I didn't say this clearly enough. Mashiach is going to come sometime in the 6,000 year period. So that means Mashiach will come, let's say, tomorrow, and Mashiach will lead us for the next 219 years. And then we'll be alive and we'll feel regular. Everything will be the same. He's going to lead us to the beginning of the 7,000 year, where everything is going to stop. And there we're not going to live, and we're going to go up to the source of where everything comes from. There's not going to be a world, and there's not going to be people. That's going to be where Mashiach is going to lead us to. But the period which we call Mashiach is when we're alive. Everything feels the same. We're just at a very elevated status. So that's going to be for the next 219 years, we hope. Then at the end of that, like I say, he's going to lead us into a realm called Shabbos, where everything stops, where we disappear, where we go up to the source of where everything comes from, the root of where all the souls come from. There's not going to be a world. There's not going to be people. maybe a few righteous people who still exist at that point. But most of us are not going to be there. Then at the end of that period, Hashem will renew the world without any understanding, because we can't talk about it, like we said, because it's a dimension which doesn't have words, which is called the world to come. So does that make, am I being clear?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good. Thank